Hello, I'm Francis Seeley from the Climate Action Forum, and I'm joined in this podcast by Elaine Graham-Lee, where we're interviewing all the candidates who are standing for the general election in the London Borough of Enfield. And in this particular podcast, we're interviewing Parag Shah, who is the Brexit candidate in Enfield Southgate. And we're interviewing him like we have all the others because we believe that climate change is the most important issue facing us in the next 10 years and indeed in this coming century, and should be the most important issue in this election. So we began by asking Parag whether he felt that climate change was the most important issue, both generally and in this general election.
Good evening, Francis. Thank you very much for having me here this evening. Climate change is a very important issue, no doubt. And climate change is something which I recognise, the Brexit Party also does recognise. You ask a very, very absolute question of whether it is the single most important thing. And on that, I can say important. The single most important thing is the word the. The word the is what makes it absolute. And I would seek to recognize that in every single person's life, each individual that's going to vote in the election coming up, there is going to be something that for them is of immediate importance. And I, as a leader of society, if I get voted in, would want to recognize that. So I ask you to accept my recognition that climate change is a thing and that it is important and high on the agenda, to ask me to prioritize it above everything else in every single person's life, I think is a little bit unreasonable.
Okay, let's go to Elaine then.
Okay, well, another way of asking the question, I guess, is in terms of trying to get the relative importance of climate change in the Brexit Party's view. And your policy platform only mentions planting tens of millions of trees and recycling waste here rather than abroad. So it's fairly short on environmental issues. Is that, and does that give us a clue as to its relative importance to you?
No, it does not. The reason why it's short is multiple. The Brexit Party has been around for barely 6 months, and we've done a phenomenal amount of work in that time with some very, very phenomenal people, which I'm privileged to have got to know, and are still working very hard, even in the middle of a campaign season. Just this evening, I've seen some messages passing between the candidates about topics like Heathrow Airport. Very, very interesting opinions, discussions, which I'm very pleased to see. So if I can talk about my personal angle for a second, because I have personally made choices over the last 15 to 20 years that are conscious towards climate consciousness. First started driving a hybrid car back in 2005, and then progressed onto electric, insulating homes, using solar panels, lots and lots of proactive choices in my own life. So you would imagine somebody with that mentality, that's been with that mentality for nearly two decades, getting involved with the Brexit Party, would only feel comfortable doing so if I verified to my own satisfaction that the Brexit Party had its values in the right place. And I am satisfied that the intentions of the people of the Brexit Party and the values are in the right place. As I say, climate change is recognized as a thing that has to be addressed. And there are lots of ways of addressing the challenges that we face. One of the things I observe is different personalities exist, different psychologies. Some people are, I use a framework which you may have heard of called yin and yang as a very useful metaphor of the different personalities out there. People that I would describe as leaning towards yin, risk averse, wanting to nurture and protect and save and not take chance. And there are people at the other end of the scale, you know, and you'd say half of humanity leans one way and the other half of humanity leans the other way, and that's a beautiful thing. The other end of the scale, a little bit more exploratory, one wants to discover, and a little bit more comfortable with higher levels of risk.
Okay, well, let's take it up a bit, because we've only got 20 minutes and I just want to get through quite a few bits. I mean, your personal journey, your personal view is very interesting, and you're clearly committed to doing something to make a change. And I think we all respect that, but you're a member of a party, and research by the Smog, which is an investigative media outlet, said the majority of those standing for the Brexit Party reject mainstream science on this issue, of which there is a 99% consensus. Now, is that a problem for you? You strongly feel one way, but your party is overall one that rejects the mainstream science.
Well, you didn't let me finish the previous question. I'll just finish it with one sentence. The word that I was going to end with is balance. I'm sure that you both agree, and most people involved with climate consciousness agreed, that balance is of the essence. You mentioned science. I'll ask you a question, and I'll ask Elaine a question, and everybody else who's watching. Is science your God? A very deep question, and I'd urge you to think about it. I've studied science, more than one science, and what I've observed is that science evolves. It keeps evolving through the ages, whether you go back to the hubris of scientists saying that the Titanic could not sink, or that the Twin Towers of New York would withstand an aeroplane hit based on their engineering calculations, or whether it's medics in the 50s saying that a drug called thalidomide would not cross the placental barrier into the womb and cause damage to unborn babies. All sorts of things that science has got wrong over decades. And every single science textbook that I've ever read was superseded by another science textbook that said the previous one wasn't right. And on science goes. Very useful it is, a wonderful tool, but not my God. And so when you speak of the science, I don't have a problem with the word science. I do have a problem with the word the. I would ask you not to use the word the, because as far as I've seen science over my lifetime, it's an ever evolving thing. As I say, I am climate conscious, and I am very, very impressed with people I've met in the Brexit Party who are also climate aware, and many recognize that climate change is a thing and that we have to do things about it.
Okay, well, let's go to Elaine, because we want to keep the answer short as we can so we can get as many questions in as we can.
Sure.
So you do seem to be putting this as a matter of personal belief rather than something that you would be advocating for government policies around. So as I'm sure you're aware, all the other parties are calling for the UK to be zero carbon by 2030 or 2050. So, I mean, you're talking about the Brexit Party developing policies. Are we going to see a Brexit Party policy for a date by which the UK would be zero carbon?
So the Brexit Party has an approach. Let me show you a picture. I've got a picture here. Let me show you this. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The picture of a boat with people on board, and it's got holes in it which are leaking. And so the boat is sinking. Now, I'm using that as a metaphor for our planet. We all share it, and we have a problem, and CO2, for example, is being produced, and measured and increasing, and we're concerned about it. Now, on that boat, we could ask everybody on board to go down below, stick a finger in the hole and plug it. And everybody's required to put their finger in a hole and plug the leak. And anybody who doesn't do that is going to be shamed for failing to do so. But of course, there are many, many other things that we could be doing to stop the boat sinking besides plugging the hole with our fingers, including looking for solutions to avoid any more holes springing leaks and to actually plug the holes in a more intelligent way than simply everybody changing their behavior to go down below and plug the hole.
So what's a more intelligent way then in terms of climate change?
So in terms of CO2, there is, you will both be aware of sequestration and increasing the number of sinks that we have rather than releasing CO2, finding technologies that generate energy, not only more efficiently, but also with less CO2 negative impact. And so advancing our technologies, investing in those things. So you can stop the leakage, plug the hole, and that's one thing, but you can also attack the problem from the other end. So for example, the Brexit Party policy of planting more trees is to actually help CO2 absorption and thereby sequestration. And so it's not just about attacking the CO2 production, but also attacking the problem from the other end, which is absorbing the CO2 and all the other greenhouse gases. And this is the multi-pronged approach, mentality, thinking that I'm seeing with members of the Brexit Party that I find very, very attractive and holistic. It's fantastic.
Okay, Elaine.
Yes, yeah, so I'm interested just to follow up on that. So obviously you've got your policy about planting trees, but you don't have policy about changing methods of electricity generation. Is that because you don't think that's something that government needs to do? Is it really your position that the market will take care of that and actually government just needs to get out of the way?
So you have made a big presumption in your statement there. You've said we don't have policy about electricity production.
Well, it's not in your manifesto as far as I've been able to find out.
We haven't published policy, is more accurate.
Ah, well, I'm not privy to your secret internal policies, but go on, do the answer.
So, and this is, you know, devil is in the detail and accuracy is of utmost importance. So, as I say, I want to communicate to you, both of you, and all of your listeners, that the Brexit Party has people like me on board and is attractive to people like me. And I'm reporting that within the Brexit Party, there are others like myself who are conscious of climate, want to take a balanced approach, attacking the challenges from all angles. And we are working actively and sensibly to come up with a range of details on policies. As you've seen, we've just published our contract with the people, and you've read that, you know, we want to plant the tree and manage our own waste over here. And that's a good indicator of the sort of enlightened approach we're taking to these things. We do also want to address energy production more efficient, with less production of CO2 and more absorption of CO2 and greenhouse gases. So coming at it from all angles.
Okay, if you come at from it from all angles, I mean, and you've talked about one end of your boat not sticking your fingers in and so on, but what about the emission side to it? I mean, Climate Accountability Institute says that 20 fossil fuel companies are directly linked to about one third of all emissions. So would you, you know, try to somehow stop those companies by taxation, by having a green tax, by holding them accountable for that? Would you take action against those companies?
I didn't catch the beginning of your question when you gave me the context about the statistic that the
one research organization said 20 fossil fuel companies are responsible for 1/3 of all emissions.
Okay, so you when you say fossil fuel companies, I've seen data that distinguishes companies that manufacture electricity and energy and companies that are not in the energy industry but burning fossil fuels, and I think they're to be treated differently. So I'd ask you, which one of the two categories of companies is it referring to, the study that you're referencing?
It's direct companies who, you know, are in the extraction industries, like BP, for example, or the state-owned company in Saudi Arabia, whether it's state-owned or private. They are the ones that are creating the most emissions.
And the question?
The question is, would you do anything with the ones that we have an influence on to actually get them to stop those emissions, to cap those emissions, to tax those emissions?
So I speak personally right now, because this conversation is ongoing within the Brexit Party. I would want to find out the names of those companies, exactly which ones they are, because your question to me is a little bit vague. And failing to give me the detail, I, if in power, would always look at things on a case-by-case basis. I find that in any sector of government, any department, sweeping statements would be unwise on a case-by-case basis. And of course, would want to pursue policies that are going to tackle climate change.
Okay, then.
So I do want to actually to ask you just one question that's actually Brexit related, since you are the Brexit Party. I'm sure you'll be aware that many sort of on the Remain side have argued that the EU is the source of most of our environmental legislation, and that leaving the EU therefore means that the potential is to throw that away, and that we won't have that as a source of further legislation on greenhouse gas emissions and environmental standards and so on. How would you reassure those people?
In two ways. I had a very interesting conversation with an old friend of mine from university back in the day, who asked me the same thing in a slightly different way, that if the European Union were not there, who would be our headmaster? And my response is this: the UK is no slacker when it comes to standards. Historically, in many, many arenas of life, we have been a standard setter, whether it be doping in athletics, whether it be standards in how we wire the electricity in our homes to be safe. We are not a country that slacks. We have typically led the way in so many walks of life. I do not understand why any British person would worry or fear that this great nation would lose its own character and fail to keep high standards for itself. And if I were in power, I can assure you, I will maintain high standards.
So don't you worry that if we're out of the EU and we're making trade deals with the United States, we may have to give in to some of their fossil fuel emission industries and not have a say in it because they're the big power and we're the little minnow?
No, on the contrary, because out there in the big wide world beyond the walled garden of the European Union, there are many, many countries that are dying to trade with us on very equal footing. We are the fifth largest economy in the world, and that's while we're held back in this limbo. Brexit hasn't happened yet. We are simply in limbo, and what's holding us back is the limbo situation. So I'm not concerned that we will be giving in, as you put it. That's, by the way, a very yin approach to life. I'm a little bit more balanced with more yang with my yin. So I think we'll be able to influence the other side more powerfully. Just for your knowledge, there are movements such as CANZUK, C-A-N-Z-U-K, that's Canada, Australia, New Zealand, wanting to form a trading bloc with the UK. Together, that would be twice the landmass of the United States of America, and a very fine trading bloc it might make. There are others too that we could do. I have heritage that you can tell from the name.
Okay, we've sort of got to the end of our 20 minutes, so let Elaine ask you the very last question.
Sure. Okay. So say, you know, on the 13th of December, there's been a surprising result and the Brexit Party had swept to power. What's the first thing you would do to address a climate change emergency?
Well, you are asking a false question. The Brexit Party are not going to be the outright largest party at the end of this election because we are not standing in every single seat. What we will be is an influential party, potentially kingmaker of the of the largest party, which may not be able to get past the post. And as an influential party, we will be seeking to get involved with the departments that are responsible for climate change.
Okay, all right. Well, we've just gone over the 20 minutes, which is okay because you're the only Brexit candidate that we're interviewing. The other two were unable to. So, you know, you put your case very well. So thank you, you know, for taking part in this and for being part of our online hustings around the climate change issue. And thank you, Elaine, for helping with the questions. And, you know, this will be available for people to see on Enfield Voices and on the other social networks, and we'll turn it into a podcast as well. So thank you Parag for joining us, and we'll end this interview now.